Sonia Sanchez, poet, academic, activist, has received many of the highest honors in literature. She's been teaching and performing her poetry for more than six decades. Here's a recording of Sonia Sanchez reading her poem, Catch the Fire.
I say, where is your fire? You got to find it and pass it on. You got to find it and pass it on from you to me, from me to her, from her to him, from the son to the father, from the brother to the sister, from the daughter to the mother, from the mother to the child. I say, where is your fire? Can't you smell it coming out of our past?
Sonia Sanchez is also founder of the movement that led to the creation of ethnic studies programs at universities around the country. She turns 89 this year. We're delighted that Sonia Sanchez is joining us now. Professor Sanchez, welcome to Here and Now.
Oh, thank you. It's an honor to be here, and thank you so very much.
I want to start with renowned and beloved writer Maya Angelou, who described you, Sonia Sanchez, as a, quote, lion in literature's forest. You are known for writing powerful, poignant, and passionate lines of poetry. How would you describe your writing?
I don't know how I describe my writing, my dear sister. All I do know is that I began to write when I was about 4 or 5 years of age, so I'm told. What I try to do, my dear sister, is that I try to look at the world and continue what Octavio Paz talked about when he talked about poetry. He said, poetry is the bridge between history and truth. I would add, poetry is the bridge between history, herstory, and truth.
There's so much beauty and love in your poems, but also pain. And I want to tell you an experience that I had when I first heard your poem about a crack mama who basically lets her daughter become a victim of rape just because of her own drug addiction. And I don't think I've ever forgotten that poem. It was so powerful and painful. And I want everyone to just, let's listen just to you performing the first part of that.
I'm a little ill now, just got a little Jones habit. Took my 7-year-old to the crack house with me on Thursday. Beautiful girl, prettiest little girl her mama done ever seen. Took her so she understand why I late sometimes with her breakfast, dinner, bedtime meetings, bedtime love. Wanted her to know how hard it is for me, you know, a single woman out here on her own, you know.
Talk to me about why you centered on the mother, who would normally be derided. But you made her the center. We were forced to listen to her perspective and her voice and her pain. I want you to talk about writing that poem.
That's the poem that I wrote when we began to discover what was happening in our neighborhoods and our families. You know, people who had gotten lost in drugs for whatever reason. It was a thing that we didn't quite understand. But what we knew is that it was destroying families. It was killing people. And in this, I wanted to bring this mother, this woman who had gotten so involved with drugs in her community, in our community, that she did not revere the daughter, the child that she had. She did not revere herself, or she did not revere her community. She did not revere anything. The only thing she revered was drugs, period, or dope. That was all she wanted. Our community was just so flooded with drugs. You have no idea that we didn't see young people playing basketball for about 10 years in our neighborhood because they were also on drugs that were destroying families, neighborhoods, and whatever, et cetera. And I wanted to show the pain and destruction of family, of a mother's love for her daughter, a daughter's being sent out, you know, on this ship that was going to sink her, that was going to kill her, that would make her have memories that she perhaps would never shake off as she grew into adulthood.
I think it very much brought that issue into light in a whole different way through poetry, which was so powerful. I want to ask you, Professor Sanchez, before you, there was no Black Studies, no African American history departments. You yourself were out of high school, out of college, before you learned anything about the major African American writers. You go on then with others in the movement to launch Black Studies. And from that, we also get things like Asian Pacific studies and gender studies, and we see these things take root over the years, from your effort, tell me about the birth of that effort. It started when you were at San Francisco State University.
Right. Well, I came out there for that. I had been part of BAM, the Black Arts Movement, you know, all of the young poets and musicians who came to talk, to teach, to change an entire neighborhood in Harlem, you know, via the arts. That's what we were doing. And we were doing a curriculum for the students on Saturday. And it was cut down, you know, and so it was destroyed. At the demise, I left New York City and headed west to a place called San Francisco State. You know, the classes that I taught, that for the first time Black students and Latino students and Asian students were taught, it was not bad to write about themselves. Can you imagine that they could write about themselves so they could bring that beauty and information out about what they were about, what their families were about, what their beauty was about, what their history and history were about?
I wonder, when you look now 50 years later and we see attacks on things like the teaching of African American history in schools, does this feel familiar to you? How do you feel about this now?
Oh, more than familiar. What you truly begin to understand is that we must always remember what we have dug out of our history's past, and history's past is that it is always under attack and scrutiny. And what we see now, what's happening in Florida and other places, is the fear people have that at some point the truth would be told as to how people who were of color were treated and maltreated in this country, how the lies were told about the history and history of America and the world at the same time. So I always tell young teachers who are going in, many of them that I taught and trained, that you just prepare yourself always. You are going to be under attack for what you teach. But the point is, we can't retreat. We can't go back. But we must continue. Mm. That is so necessary in this day and age.
And I want to ask you, you have seen so many attacks over your lifetime. You've seen victories too. Now we're situated at a very particular time. Do you have hope for the future, for where we're headed?
Oh gosh, of course. Oh, my dear sister, this is nothing. I mean, for me to tell you, you know, how I moved in academe, right? And the things that were said and how I was treated and how alone I was. But I had the students. I had the students I was teaching. So no. This is just, as I call it, the last flailing of many people, you know, who are so biased against the teaching of the truth, the teaching of the history and history of people of color, that at some point, we pulled it out of those file cabinets, you know, we brought it out and we taught. And our classes were not just all Black or brown people. Our classes were the white students who came in and said, I want to know the truth, what I'm supposed to know. And there we were, what we had always wanted in our classroom, that kind of interaction there, the truth that young people have got to understand and learn. So therefore we can have the kind of country, the kind of world that we really do need at this particular time.
Professor Sanchez, you now work with young children, with elementary school children. Tell me about that.
Oh, yes, I do. I teach poetry at Jubilee School here in Philadelphia. The principal, Karen Falcon, and Jamila Carter. But the students, they have written books. Can you imagine? Come on, fourth and fifth graders writing books. They wrote a book about someone by the name of Sonia Sanchez, the freedom and dream worker. They write haiku. If you want to see some of the most beautiful haiku on the planet Earth, read the haiku that the younger people write, you know, and what they see and the visions and the beauty that they see and the colors that they see. And so I am so grateful for Jala and Shana and Adria and Magic Wise and Mason and Tiana and Benjamin.
Shouting
and
them all out.
Yes, great fourth and fifth graders. And when you teach them and see the creativity, you know, and the love and respect that they have for each other, you understand there is hope. There's more than hope. You know that we're going to win this one, my dear sister.
Sounds like you think the future is so bright. You talk about those beautiful children and their haikus. You love the haiku and have written some to your children and for future generations. I'd love it if you could share one of those and maybe quickly tell us the story behind it.
When I was in China in 73, I called my children and I said, it's Monday. And my children, who were little, said, Mommy thinks that it's Monday, but it's really Sunday, isn't it? And so I wrote a haiku because I was in China. I was already a day ahead of them. I wrote a haiku to them, let me wear the day well, so when it reaches you, you will enjoy it. I just want you to know that people who have been in the struggle, like many of us have been in the struggle, that we will continue to wear the day well. So you younger people coming behind us with the information, we'll wear the days well also too, until we have the kind of success that we want, that we need, the kind of freedom that we want, that we need, or the kind of love that we want and we need in this place called America and in the world.
Professor Sonia Sanchez, poet, academic, and activist, thank you so much for joining us on Here and Now.
Thank you so very much.